teranga marie orang indu ye tui hone o papu tuno ku e takatone o te taia e afine ia tato ti hei maori ora. This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
It is indeed this week at the Green Desk. Mitch speaks to Hannah Blumhardt about the bottle deposit scheme that was introduced to the Environment Select Committee 2 weeks ago. Bottle deposit schemes are considered an essential tool in waste minimisation and closed-loop recycling throughout the world. Mitch and Hannah discussed what the scheme will involve, as well as the general recycling practice in Aotearoa. Mitch begins by asking Hannah about the issue we are facing with our existing systems and the necessity of getting bottle deposits reintroduced into Aotearoa.
The Kiwi Bottle Drive campaign and the New Zealand Product Stewardship Council and a range of other groups are supporting a mandatory bottle deposit scheme in New Zealand, because at the moment we use about 2.23 billion beverage containers a year in New Zealand, and about 40% of these are recovered for recycling, but the other 60% go to landfill or enter into the litter stream. So we're just losing a huge amount of bottles to our environment and to the economy. So it's just nonsensical. But if we were to put a 20-cent deposit on those containers, this would see those recovery rates getting up to 80, 90, even 100%, and it would drastically reduce littering. And that's just because you have a little, you know, those bottles are now worth something. So instead of walking past them when we see them on the side of the road, we'd be incentivized to pick them up, or we'd be incentivized to take them somewhere to be recycling so we can get that 20 cents.
So you guys think, I don't know where the data's coming from, but it's as simple as incentivizing it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
At the moment, a beverage container, when it's empty, is worth nothing to us.
Yeah.
And so there's no incentive. If we're really sort of maybe thinking about the environment, we might put them into our curbside recycling system. But the reality is that most beverage containers, they're drinks that are drunk outside of the home when we're out and about. So we actually don't have a recycling container handy to us. And so they're just chucked in the bin, or they might even be littered. So yeah, we're just putting a little, so instead of banning things and saying, no, you can't use these things anymore, we're just trying to incentivize people to do the right thing. And most of the materials that beverage containers are made out of are highly recyclable, things like glass, things like aluminium, and the types of plastics that are used for plastic bottles tend to be plastic that's more easily recycled than other kinds of plastic, so we really shouldn't be throwing these things to landfill.
Right, so I know in other countries they've actually got a system that separates each one out, so would this 20 cent incentive sort of be like an overarching one, or that's just the average, so 10 cents for aluminium, 30 cents for plastic? What are we talking here?
There's so many different ways that you could set it up, but we're proposing a 20 cent deposit across the board for all bottles below a certain size, say 3 litres. So we've got a flat rate going. But yes, some countries might have a slightly higher deposit for a bottle that's bigger in size. We're not proposing a different deposit for different materials or anything like that. Just keep things simple.
Right, and it's pretty clear that people are supporting it. And I know, like, I think it was made clear, I mean, at the start of this year, end of last year, with the whole soft plastics initiative, I don't think anyone was expecting people to kind of pull up their socks with it so much. So when we're talking about increasing recycling from, I think you said 40% to about 80 to 90%, do we have the infrastructure to deal with that?
So just to be clear, this isn't about increasing recycling rates, it's about increasing recovery rates, so getting the bottles or the beverage containers back. And then what you do with those beverage containers is up to you. So you may send them to recycling, but you could equally send them back to the companies to be washed, sterilized, and refilled. So you don't even have to go through that whole energy-intensive recycling process at all. So this is something that's viable for glass, for example. A little bit like the swapper crate system, but we could do it for all kinds of things. So that's the first thing. The second thing to say say is actually we do, for a lot of the materials that beverage containers are made out of, we do have processing capacity in New Zealand. For example, we've got a glass recycler in New Zealand that could take all of New Zealand's glass bottles. The problem is that actually it's difficult to get those bottles to the glass recycler, and a bottle deposit scheme could actually help fund transporting bottles up there and also keeping those bottles not contaminated with other recyclables because they'd be collected separately. So that's perfect. Another thing too is that yes, we actually have a recycler in New Zealand that could take the entirety of New Zealand's clear PET, so that's plastic number one. And that's what a lot of, when you look at a plastic bottle, are generally made out of plastic number one PET. So these could all go to this processor that we've got in Lower Hutt called Flight Plastics. Flight Plastics has the capacity to take more than New Zealand's total PET consumption, and yet they operate at 30% capacity at the moment, and that's because we just don't have the recovery rates to get that level of recyclate to them. So actually, yeah, we are ready to recycle a lot of the stuff in New Zealand. Aluminium would still be going overseas mostly, but aluminium is highly recyclable and attracts really high prices on the international market. So it's actually, you know, there's a steady market for that. It's not the kind of situation that we have with, say, plastics type 3 to 7, where China said they didn't want it anymore and we've got nowhere to send it. So this isn't that plastic. It's a different kind of plastic.
So I'm just wondering, in terms of the scheme, how it's going to operate between, say, for example, like me, how am I going to get my 20 cents?
Okay, cool. So it's important to emphasise at the moment that we don't have such a scheme and we're pushing for the government to sort of give the green light. And then once the government were to do that, then they would design the scheme. And there's many different ways they could design
okay.
it. But the ideal scheme would be that when a beverage company puts their bottles on the market, they pay automatically 20 cents to a central managing agency and they hold those deposits. And then the retailer passes that 20 cent deposit on to you when you pay for that bottle. And then once you've finished your bottle, then you decide what you're going to do. So you could take it to, for example, a supermarket that might have a reverse vending machine and you just pop the bottle in and the 20 cents deposit comes out. Or you might be able to take those bottles to a collection depot, which might be somewhere like your local transfer station, community recycling centre, something like that. So we're pushing for a scheme that has high levels of convenience for consumers, which would see a mixture of both reverse vending machines and collection depots. So that's how you would get your 20 cents back.
That's really cool. Thank you for that. Maybe just moving off the bottle scheme now, I'm a bit curious about the recycling process itself. In terms of, so let's say currently we're recycling 40%. In the process of recycling, what are we sort of operating? Are we getting like 100% of that 40% is being recycled, or is it about half, or is it 80%? What are we ending
up with? Okay, it's important to emphasise at this point that New Zealand has terrible waste data. So it's really difficult to say what happens to our recycling and in what quantities and where it goes and what happens to it. It's not easy. And what's made even more complicated is the fact that every single council in New Zealand does it differently. So I can't make a statement for the whole of New Zealand, basically. But in parts of the country, let's say glass, in parts of the country where glass is collected alongside other materials in the same bin, you have high levels of contamination, and so those glass bottles may be being recovered, but recovery doesn't tell us what happens to them, because when they're contaminated they can't go to be turned into new bottles, and so what happens is they get smashed up and turned into roads, which is downcycling. It's not recycling, because once you've turned the glass bottle into a road, you can never get that glass back ever again. So yes, a huge amount of New Zealand's glass that is recovered is not necessarily recycled. And then with the plastic, again, a huge amount of, like large amounts of New Zealand's clear PET, even though it could be recycled in New Zealand, a lot of it's sent offshore where it gets turned into textiles, which then creates the problem of microfibers from things like polyester that leach micro bits of plastic into our waterways every time they're washed. So yeah, there's no one way of answering your question about how much of it actually gets recycled, how much of it gets turned into, you know, certain products, how much of it is managed onshore versus offshore. It's can't answer that, unfortunately.
Right, but so do you think there's a general trend that most of our waste in general is sent offshore?
It depends on the material. So looking, you know, very broadly speaking, the majority of, we send no glass recycling offshore. All of that's dealt with onshore. Okay. We send a huge proportion of our plastics offshore, but now that many councils are not collecting plastics type 3 to 7 for recycling anymore, and they're only collecting types 1s and 2s that are recyclable in New Zealand, that proportion may change, but that doesn't tell us how much is now going to landfill that was going offshore. About 90% of our metals go offshore, and about 50% of our paper and cardboard goes offshore. So that's roughly speaking how it breaks down.
And so does some of these, I know we send it offshore because we might not necessarily have the technologies for it, but as part of it, do we get it back? In a sense, like, do you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
Do we buy back the products it's turned into?
Yeah. Is that like part of it? Like, we just don't have the technology, so we send it over to them and then in turn we get it back.
So firstly, some of the reasons why we might send stuff offshore, will not be because we don't have the technology. It may be because the way that recycling works is it's all to do with price. And so particularly for plastics, for example, even though we could recycle all of our clear PET in New Zealand, a lot of clear PET still goes offshore because recycler might get higher prices for us on the international market. So it's not totally because we don't have technology onshore, but it is for some materials, and it's also a question of capacity, how much we can take.
Of course.
But in terms of how much we buy back, that's a really difficult one to answer. The likelihood is that most of the plastic products that we buy back into New Zealand are not going to be made out of recycled products. One of the reasons the soft plastics recycling scheme collapsed in New Zealand was because we weren't buying back enough of the stuff that plastic was being turned into, like park benches and posts and bollards and stuff. Mm. So this is one of the problems with recycling, is there isn't a very big demand for recycled product, particularly of plastics. And so that's going to be a barrier for the development of onshore processes as well. We need to, if we want to use plastic and we want to recycle it, we have to buy recycled plastic.
Overall, I know the trend will be positive, but in terms of, say, like a single person grabbing a bottle and then just chucking it on the road and then going, oh no, all good, my conscience is fine because I know someone's going to pick that up. They're going to recycle that. Is that something that's been taken into account in all this?
You mean if we had a bottle deposit, people would do that?
Yeah. So say the person themselves goes, oh look, I can't be asked. Like, I can't be bothered to take it back. It's too far. If I just leave this here on the street, well, I hope that someone might come and pick it up, and then they'll get their 20 cents.
This is something that does concern me sometimes, that people say, oh, you know, in Germany it's really great because at the end of the night people leave out all their empty beer bottles and then homeless people come past and pick them up and cash them in.
Exactly what I've experienced and what I'm referring to pretty much. Yeah.
And I think that's great to have that money being injected back into the economy, and it's really great to incentivize people to pick up litter. However, I'm thinking of something like Wellington on a windy Sunday morning with plastic bottles of ex-scrumpy blowing everywhere. And I would hope that if people are going to be doing that, then it would be not just leaving, you know, things on the side of the road for other people to pick up. I don't think that that's going to be a massive phenomenon in New Zealand, and it certainly isn't an argument to not have a bottle deposit scheme.
Oh, of course not, yeah.
Yeah, but it's something that I think people really need to be mindful about, you know, where they put their rubbish anyway. I think a lot of people don't realise how leaky New Zealand's waste management system is, and just because you've balanced something on top of a bin doesn't mean it's going to stay balanced on the top of the bin. So, yeah, always being mindful about what we do with our rubbish and not just presuming it's gone away just because we've put it somewhere where it might be dealt with.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Hannah. I think that's just about all the questions I've got. Did you want to add anything else?
No, just to say that if you think that bottle deposits are a good idea for New Zealand, do follow the Select Committee process. The petition is currently before the Select Committee, and the Kiwi Bottle Drive and New Zealand Product Stewardship Council submitted to the committee last week, and just follow what happens. We want to keep pressure on the government to bring this into force, because no new legislation needs to be passed. They've already got all the powers they need to sort of give this the green light. So we just encourage people to follow the process and keep that pressure on.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Order.